Somebody, I
shouldn't. Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7. It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio, I'm Ben Carlisle. Welcome in. I'm joined in studio by Beck Haynes, our great producer John Tabers here as well. Louisiana Tech falls to UAB 28-7 Saturday night in what was really an ugly day throughout. I know the sun was shining early, but the clouds were overhead late. The Dogs were unable to overcome the Blazers Saturday night. Beck, how convenient of you to show up this week after an offensive struggle. Funny.
I want Tech to lose, and I want J-Mar to do bad, Ben.
You're off work.
You just practically did everything but beg me to come back.
You're right. Anyway.
I heard you did a good job, though. I didn't personally listen to the show.
Yeah, no surprise there.
I heard you did a great job.
Yeah, it was a fun show last week. Riding solo, riding shotgun.
Honestly, I was a little scared you were going to just tell me I didn't need to come back.
Well, Tabor told me that.
He did do a great job, but it's still on you.
Uh-oh. Yeah, it's still on you. So, let's thank our sponsors before we really kick things off.
We got a few of them. We got Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen and Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse, and O'Neill Gas.
We'd also like to thank our title sponsor, First National Bank. As always, you can text us on the Fairway Carts text line. You can call us on the Fairway Carts hotline.
We always seem to get a few more. Oh, sorry, give the number.
888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you. We know Bulldog fans love to talk about losses more than they like to talk about wins.
Yeah, they sure do. And boy, are the Tech faithful fans fired up, Ben.
Fired up or in complete meltdown?
Complete meltdown. We'll touch on that later. We'll answer the question, is it time to hit the panic button? Ben, you're the most reasonable.
Well, without a doubt.
Reasonable Tech fan, which is unbelievable just knowing you through college. I don't think I ever thought I would say that, but you genuinely and generally are pretty level-headed when it comes to Tech sports. So maybe you can back these people down off the cliff, Ben.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, about 80-90% of them need to be backed down. Coming up in tonight's show, 6:30, we're going to talk with Javi Cardenas of BirdsUp.com. That's a UTSA rival site to preview Tech's matchup this weekend in San Antonio with a UTSA squad that's won three straight games. They are now 3-3 overall, 2-0 in Conference USA play. Beck, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to look at UTSA, and they say that winning cures all. I don't think that winning has cured the 129th ranked offense in the country. So it will be 129th is dead last, by the way. It'll be interesting to see what Javi has to say about the Roadrunners program. Tech picked up a big 20-6 win over them a season ago.
How do you have the worst offense in college football but be 2-0 in conference?
Well, if I
ask, that makes me nervous.
Well, they've played UTEP and Rice. Have you heard me talk about the Miners and the Owls?
I have, but Ben, I was telling you.
Listen to this. I was reading a little bit on UTSA's site today about, you know, a game recap after they beat Rice 20-3 this past weekend. And you know, obviously you're pumped up, you won the game, but they're like, the Roadrunners limited the Owls to 222 total yards in the game. But here's the problem. UTSA only had 179 total yards.
Unbelievable.
They're inept offensively. So it'll be interesting to talk with Javi, see what he has to say about the Roadrunners when Louisiana Tech travels down there this week. Beck, You're a big fantasy football player.
Right.
Did you get the opportunity to watch the Red Zone channel yesterday?
I did all day long. And that would be actually, yeah, Sunday, all day long.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
2 days ago. I watched it.
Did you see Trent Taylor, 7 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown? You might want to add him to your squad.
I didn't even see that. I did see Xavier Woods get his interception.
Yeah, there. Xavier Woods, big interception for the Cowboys late in that game against Deshaun Watson. He also cleaned.
My fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, well, he also cleaned Watson's clock a couple of times in the first half. One of them was on a receiver down the field, and he got a penalty for it, but it was a big hit, and that's really all that matters.
That's right. That's Bulldog football right there.
Yeah, well, we're covering the Dogs, and we like to see big hits.
That's a big game for Trent Taylor, though. I didn't realize he did that.
Yeah, playing with C.J. Beathard at quarterback. Maybe Beathard's a little better than the male model Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, what everybody else do? Kentrell Bryce?
Yep, Tremont Williams, 3 tackles apiece. Did Green Bay win this week?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers lost.
Looking pretty rough over there.
I know your fantasy kicker for the Packers missed 5 field goals.
Let me just touch on it.
Mason Crosby sucks.
I played our good friend Sutton Davison. You faithful
LSU homer.
The old LSU homer, Sutton. You Bleed Tech Blue Radio faithful know him well. And my team has been just lights out. And I even tried to talk some smack. Tried to put some money on the game, but Sutton was scared. And I lose to that dude by like 9 points, and Mason Crosby missed 5 field goals.
Yeah, somebody find him a job on the waiver wire.
So I'm a little bitter.
Anyway.
It's been a rough weekend football-wise for me.
It's been a rough weekend for the state of Louisiana outside of the Saints' big win last week. But, Beck, today Skip Holtz met with the media at his weekly Tuesday press conference.
I watched it.
Recapping the loss to UAB, previewing the game against UTSA this weekend. What were some of your key takeaways from it?
Well, as Skip always does, I'll let you cover the past. I'll cover the future. As Skip always does, he makes me leave the press conference
jacked up.
Well, he gives so much, which I get it. And I've been meaning to ask you this for a few weeks. He gives so much respect to the team we're about to play, even if they're just terrible.
Well, what do you want him
to say? I know. Well, that's what I'm asking. Is there any part of you that wants him? I mean, that's his. Every coach has their own persona, and they're, you know, that we got some coaches out there that are a little more bold in what they're saying. Skip always acts like it's a whole team full of all conference players.
Okay, so last week, okay, for instance, I get it. You're off for work, but did you want him to come to the press conference and say, "Hey, we're 3-1. We just beat North Texas. They're the best team in the conference. We got UAB this weekend. They're not very good. We should be able to take them and handle them easily." Or do you want him to talk up a UTSA team and, you know, have his players prepared better than they were this past week so that they're not overlooking an opponent? What, like, I don't get what you want.
I'm not saying I want him to be any different than he is. I'm just pointing out the fact that in his press conferences, he gives a lot of respect and praise to the team, his future opponent. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we got to give this UTSA quarterback, Grundy, is his last name, big week last week against Rice, 6 out of 18 for 33 yards.
Amik's going to have a field day.
Yeah, if they ever throw at him. And
we talked about that the other day.
Yeah,
I asked you, is it going to be tough for someone like Amik? Like, at the end of his career, his stats aren't going to be that great because they never throw the ball. But our NFL scouts, they see through that, correct?
Yeah, they look at Pro Football Focus.
Okay.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus.
You also look at Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, the college version. As always, you can join us at BleedTechBlue.com. Only $9.95 a month. Well worth your money. You'll find out how every Louisiana Tech Bulldog graded out on a weekly basis. You'll also find out how their opponents graded out as well. But, you know, some of my other key takeaways, and I don't think it's any surprise to hear Skip say in his press conference that UAB absolutely whipped Tech up front.
Yeah, it was not. He was real quick to say that. Even the players were just.
It was evident.
We got beat. They did things better than we did.
And you talk about, you know, 11 lost yardage plays, 5 sacks. Receivers had 4 drops. Jamar had another 4 throwaways. I mean, what's that? 16. That's around 24 plays. You probably only ran 60 on the night. You know, that's nearly half your plays that are for no gain or lost yardage. On top of that, 3 turnovers.
So why wasn't Tech Skip Why wasn't Tech prepared for that? Skip made the comment that in the film they had watched before, they were pretty stagnant, but they moved a lot. The defensive line moved around a lot.
And I talked about this a lot last week. It was a UAB team that entered the matchup 3-1 overall, but when you looked at who they had played, you know, they played Kennesaw State or Savannah State, some state school that's terrible in the FCS ranks, Coastal Carolina, Tulane, and then they played Charlotte, who's a bottom dweller in Conference USA. Well, three of those four schools run the option. So you can't really watch the film and say, well, here's what they're going to do against my spread attack, because they're defending the run only.
Right.
And when they got into that game, and Skip put the blame on himself, saying that, you know, I didn't have the offensive line prepared adequately. And so what UAB did was they ran a lot of stunts and twists up front. Tech was missing Joshua Moat at left guard. Drew Kirkpatrick got the start in his place. Tech was also playing without Jaquise Dancy for the second straight week. Israel Tucker was limited after injuring his shoulder against North Texas. Bottom line is, they whipped Tech up front. They confused Tech up front. Some of the running backs in McKnight and Henderson struggled to pick up the pass protections. And at the end of the day, I think that's what it boils down to.
Right.
And I hate to say it like that. You like to say that, you know what, well, I can pinpoint these two or three receivers, or I can pinpoint these two running backs, or I can pinpoint Jamar. I know everybody likes to hate on Jamar, but if you're getting whipped up front and your quarterback doesn't have time to throw, McKnight or Henderson doesn't have time to run the ball, you're never going to be able to get your receivers involved in the game. And I know a lot of people are like, well, we didn't push the ball down the field. Well, we didn't have an opportunity to push it down the field because we couldn't get time to throw the ball.
Right. I just hate that we got beat on, like, game plan and preparation. Like,
yeah.
That's the last place I want to lose a football game.
No, you're right.
I can deal with, like, freak plays and
You're right. No, you have a very good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're a genius.
Let me ask you this. Skip made a couple comments about – he said a few times, you know, at some point during the game, I should have recognized we can win this game 10-7, just trying to get my guys. Let's win 10-7. That mentality, Ben.
Well, I don't think it was a mentality. I think it was a realization of this is a defensive battle. We have to continue to win the field position battle, and we can win this game 10-7. He talked about Bailey Hale and the 44-yard field goal miss, that he really felt like that's when the balloon popped. You know, the team, it just seemed to let the wind out of their sails. And I understand what he's saying. He's not saying that the offense was clicking on all cylinders and a missed field goal was what did them in. He's saying that if they could have got a 10-7 lead right there, then you get an extra boost of energy and confidence, and your defense gets to go back out and say, well, we're about to stuff you for the remaining quarter and a half, and we're going to put you away, and we can win this game 10-7. I think that's what he was really trying to say. And I know a lot of times when, you know, I know you said you got to watch the press conference live, but if you don't get to watch it and you're just following along on Bleed Tech Blue with our notes, you know, from the press, it's hard to understand context at times. So I wanted to clear that up. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, we've talked before. Just a lot of people seem to think that at the end of games, this happened a lot last year, almost happened at North Texas. Skip plays a little more conservatively, and so that comment felt like could have been relayed that way. So I'm, you know,
and you talk about all the run calls in this game. Well, two things I point to: if you can't block them up front, how many times are you going to throw it?
Zero.
And he also said that UAB consistently showed a five-man box. Well, if they're showing a five-man box defensively, you got a hat on a hat with your offensive lineman. You have to win. But also think that's where you go back to not having Jaquise Dancy in the backfield. He's a guy that can make a guy miss if they do fill the hole, and Tech really misses, you know, that element that he brings to their offense. But anyway, some good stuff from the Skip Holtz press conference. Like I mentioned, you can join us at BleedTechBlue.com, $9.95 a month. Get the full recap of the UAB game and from Skip's press conference as well. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to take our first time out. When we come back after the break, we're really going to dive into this UAB game, figure out what went right, what went wrong, what should we be concerned about going forward. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoked cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech falls to UAB Saturday night inside Joe I. Stadium, 28-7. The Bulldogs are now 3-2, 1-1 in conference play. The Blazers are 4-1, 2-0, and in control of the West Division. Beck, we've been waiting for a long time for this. It's finally that time. It's time for you to share your poem that you promised 3 weeks ago.
Ask me if I got a poem, Ben.
Beck, do you got a poem?
Hell no, I don't got a poem. And let me tell you why. Ben, I thought after North Texas, I thought, man, I'm probably going to have to write a poem.
Oh, you're still going to.
But then I thought about it.
No, you're still writing a poem.
I'm going to write a poem if he ever gives me a reason to write a poem, Ben. You want to look at his stats this last game? You want me to go ahead and read you the line?
Yeah, hear it. Let's
9 of 23 for 107 yards and one interception.
Well.
That's not good, Ben, and it's not poem worthy. Now, with that being said, I do not think this loss was Jamar's fault. I think it was very much a whole team fault.
Hell has frozen over.
I mean... This is what we know about
Jamar. You're the guy that is quick to blame the quarterback guy.
I know, but I've matured. And this is what we know about Jamar. He's not, this year, he's not going to hurt us bad. But he's also not going to carry us at all. He's not going to make those amazing plays that's going to really push us over the edge. He didn't turn the ball over that much. But he's not flashy. He didn't do anything crazy special. When Jamar's protected, he plays
very well.
I mean, every quarterback plays better when they're protected.
You're right.
I'm not. It's not lost on me, okay? I'm just saying.
I mean, I think it's not safe to say that Blake Bortles plays well when he's protected, but I get your point.
Right. I'm just saying. I'm glad I didn't write one after last week. Not that I was here. I couldn't have even given you a poem.
You're working.
But I'm even further away now from writing him one.
Yeah.
And you know what? You and I have like a $1,000 bet on Jamar being all conference. And at first I thought that was like he's going to have to play out of his mind. But then I started thinking about how he just has to be better than every other quarterback in the conference. And we have some terrible quarterbacks in this conference. You might have hustled me.
We're going to get into this terrible quarterback play. But first, let's go to the Fairway Carts hotline. Our good friend Robbie and Chalmette. How are you, Robbie?
Hey, yeah, this is Robbie and Chalmette. I ain't doing very good, Ben.
Well, that ain't good.
No, I got a poem for you.
Go ahead.
Tell you, it's a roses are red, violets are blue, UAB is at home, And that's like kissing your sister, man. Losing the UAB 287 at home, man. That's a bull, man. I don't know. I gotta go, man. That ain't cool.
Hey, Robbie, how much money did you lose on this game?
Robbie left us.
Did Robbie?
Mic drop.
Robbie out. Beautiful poem by Robbie, by the way. I'll be sure and take notes if I ever have the chance to write one. And Ben, let me ask you just straight up. Do you think I'm ever going to write a poem?
Yes. I do.
You're not discouraged with Jamar right now?
Beck, why would I be discouraged?
Because he was 9 of 23 for 107 yards and one interception.
Okay, yes, I get it. He struggled a little bit, but my Lord.
And what did he grade last game, Mr. PFF?
Against UAB?
Yeah.
He had a 55.8, which was higher than he graded against North Texas, Mr. PFF.
That's you're supporting my argument. Those are two terrible grades.
Yeah, they
are. You should know. You got a couple of them in college.
No, but you just said you thought you were going to write a poem after North Texas because he played well. Well, guess what? He didn't play as bad as you think this week. When you look at 11 lost yards, 5 quarterback sacks, and pressure in his face all night, you know what? Call me a Jamar apologist because I'm going to give him another week.
I'm going to give him another week.
You know what? You can come to my house and watch the game Saturday night and we can write that poem together. We can write it about this game in particular.
I hope I have to write a poem. I hope Jamar gives me a reason to write a poem. I really do. I know you don't believe that.
Looking at the rest of this game, bright spots. Other than the first offensive possession, we'd have a hard time finding some bright spots.
There's not a lot.
Cam McKnight, 3 carries, 32 yards on the drive, punches it in. Tech gets a 7-0 lead. Outside of that, defense played well for 3 quarters. Really kept Tech in the game before they ran out of gas in the fourth quarter, ends up giving up 2 touchdowns to propel UAB to that 28-7 win. You want to talk about the terrible quarterbacks in Conference USA and how I duped you into this bet.
Right.
Well, I got something to dupe you into. A.J. Erdely at UAB is the epitome of terrible. 8 of 24, 136 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT. 8 of 24, that'd be I don't know, I'm not a math major, 33% completion percentage.
That's literally almost the exact same stat line as Jamar, except he had more yards than Jamar and a touchdown.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about Jamar anymore.
All right.
Anyways, I got a question for you. I'm not here to make an excuse, but, and I talked about this on the show, when the NCAA froze the eligibility of UAB 2 years ago when their program decided that they were just going to go to the Underground Railroad for a while. Now they're reaping the benefits. I think they had 19 graduates on that team, nearly 30 players that were sixth-year seniors. And again, I'm not making an excuse, but from a mental side of things, a 25-year-old versus 20 and 21-year-olds, some 22-year-olds. Do you think that gives the Blazers an advantage? Or should they go play in the semi-pro league because the average age of their team is about that of a semi-pro team?
Well, being 25 and being out of football 2 years, is that right? Are they out of football 2 years?
Yeah, but
I don't know if that's an advantage.
They practice.
They practiced for 2 years and didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think, you know, I don't know if it gives you a whole heck of a lot of advantage on the field from a physical standpoint, but mentally, I feel like me as a 25-year-old, I had a family when I was 25. I was paying the bills. When I was 20 and 21, I couldn't even pay my light bill on time. Had a dog in my house when you weren't allowed pets. I'm just saying, the maturity level of a 25-year-old versus a 20, 21-year-old is pretty evident. But let me make it clear, I ain't making an excuse. How much do you think Tech missed Jaquice Dancy in this game?
A lot. Cam McKnight did have 15.
Cam McKnight played really well.
He did. He had his best game, I think, in a long time.
And I think it's important to point out, or go ahead and give us Cam McKnight's stats.
He had 15 carries, 80 yards, 1 touchdown. That's 5.3 yards a carry.
And
I ain't mad at that.
No, I think that's really good, and I think that it's important to point out that Cam McKnight understands his role in this offense.
Right.
And he's running hard. He's getting north and south.
He's just a different type of running back than Dancy is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we miss Dancy.
Yeah, we missed Aquise. So,
but he's back.
Yeah. And mentioning, you know, players being out in this game, I thought Joshua Moat at left guard, I know he's a redshirt freshman. I know he struggled against South Alabama, but he had played like 97% of the snaps coming into this game. So anytime you plug in a new guy that hasn't been up front, there's going to be a couple of communication issues, which, understandable or not, it happens. And I think that could be pointed to some of the issues on the offensive line. Daniel Lewis left the game in the first half, safety, grad transfer from Hawaii. I know Jordan Baldwin came in for him, played well. I thought, you know, I think Baldwin's a really good safety, honestly. But at the end of the day, Tech didn't get the job done.
You want to hear the barbershop rumblings for the week?
Yeah.
You kind of touched on this earlier, so this will be a half one.
Yeah.
But defense, again, gave up 28. Do you want to – I have my opinion, but for the barbershop crowd, why – that's a couple weeks in a row with the defense have given up into the high 20s. Looks kind of bad. Yeah. Robbie from Shaw Metz getting a little upset.
Yeah. Love the
barbershop. Explain why you're not worried about the defense, Ben.
Dude, they stifled UAB throughout the first three quarters of that game.
Right.
Like, hey, you keep punting it after three and outs, defense is eventually going
to
break.
Yeah, and they're off the field for 2 minutes.
And yeah, and the touchdown that UAB went up 14-7 was like a 38-yard drive. So, like, Tech gave it to them in their territory.
Right.
I ain't worried about the defense. Now, you talk about the offense, I'm more concerned about the offense. You go 2 of 12 on third down. We'll get into the third down woes when we talk at 6:45 about UTSA game. You commit three turnovers. You allow five sacks.
Problems.
You're going to have problems. And that's not to say that this offense isn't capable of turning around, but that's concerning. That's something that has to be cleaned up this week. And Coach Holt said that in his press conference. We got to clean it up. Teddy Veal talked about it. We cannot panic. I think you saw some panic on that sideline when things weren't going as planned. You have to stay together. You have to compete with one another and realize what the goal is. And that's what Tech has to do going forward. Outside of Florida Atlantic and Mississippi State left on this schedule,
you ain't worried.
And you could argue Florida Atlantic as well. Tech's more talented than those teams. But they don't play the games on white sheets of paper.
Right.
They play the game on a football field that's 53 yards wide and 120 yards long. Yes, I counted the end zones. So those are a couple of things that Tech has to get cleaned up. Real quick, before we get to the break, we got to get to our boy, Javi. Do you need to touch on this more?
I got one more question.
All right, let's hear it.
So you kind of touched on it. Did this scare you, or was this a bad day at the office?
Bad day at the office.
100%?
100%.
You ain't worried about it?
No! Beck, I'm not jumping off the side of a cliff because of one game.
I tell you, there's some people that are.
Oh, yeah. You call me in 8 weeks and we're 3-9, I'll jump off the cliff without a parachute. But we're 3-2. Did you expect to be 5-0 at this point? Yeah, we took one on the chin. We're not in control of the West Division. But you can still win a conference championship. Get some things cleaned up and you'll be all right. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take a quick timeout. FS from Farmerville, maybe UAB could schedule BYU for the 25 and over title. That's a good point, FS. Appreciate you texting us in. When we come back, we'll talk with Javi Cardenas of BirdsUp.com, preview the matchup between Louisiana Tech, UTSA. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Get off the interstate and get into Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep and let us show you why your satisfaction is our number one priority. As a certified Chrysler 5-star dealership, we take great pride in the experience you have with us. That's why the customer satisfaction scores you give us continually rank in the highest level. Come see us at Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep in Ruston or shop our website at BrennanDodge.com. You'll experience great deals and award-winning service. And you will know why Brennan Dodge is a certified Chrysler 5-star dealer.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Fall is time to get out and do stuff. Great weather is perfect for heading into the woods, tailgating, or going on a camping trip. And it's better with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts. From an EasyGo multi-passenger cart for family fun to EasyGo utility carts for the tough stuff. Available in gas or electric, and Fairway has all you need to customize your EasyGo. See the entire EasyGo line today at Fairway Carts in Minden, just north of I-20 at exit 49. Call 800-960-CART.
Hey, DQ fans, think you know all there is about the DQ $5 buck lunch? Well, think again, because now this lunchtime favorite is even bigger, with even more options to choose from, like the deluxe cheeseburger, chicken strips, new crispy chicken salad, and the new KC barbecue bacon cheeseburger, each topped off with a world-famous sundae for just $5. Even more choices, same great value. The DQ $5 buck lunch variety menu, only at your DQ. At participating locations, this is fan food, not fast food.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech traveling to UTSA this weekend for a crucial Conference USA showdown. We're now joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by Javi Cardenas of BirdsUp.com. How are you doing tonight, Javi?
Fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime. Javi, when you look at this UTSA program, a rough start 0-3, granted, against three Power 5 programs. They've now bounced back, won three consecutive games. What's the vibe that you're feeling around the program right now?
You know, in any other circumstance, I would tell you it should be a positive vibe, right? You know, you win three in a row after starting 0-3. But, you know, it's not all that great, actually. You know, they've beaten teams that they should have beaten, you know, Texas State, UTEP, and Rice. Some of the worst teams in the country, but the problem is they've done it in a very unimpressive fashion with a very lackluster offense. So, you know, it's just, if I could describe it, the fan base is pretty, you know, not very optimistic. You know, they're not really looking forward to the rest of the season, if you will, which is weird having a three-game winning streak.
Yeah, and I understand that. You talk about the offensive woes. I think I looked at the total offense, and UTSA ranks 129th in the country, which is at the bottom, and I think they're 122nd in scoring offense. What are some of these issues that Roadrunner fans are seeing on a weekly basis on the offensive side of the ball?
You know, I think the combination of losing senior quarterback Dalton Sturm and replacing more than half of the offensive line is really more of an issue than people imagined at the end of last year. Sturm was great at extending plays, being that playmaker for the team, and it kind of covered up those deficiencies along the offensive line. And this year, you know, they only returned one starter in Josh Dunlop, and he's a right tackle right now. And, you know, I just think the cohesiveness on the offense is not there yet. Maybe they'll get there. Maybe he can start this week. But just from what we've seen this first half of the season, it just hasn't been there. I think it all starts at the offensive line and it kind of trickles its way down. You know, just the communication isn't there on the offensive line. The blocking's not there. They're pretty good at pass blocking, but that might just maybe something to do with that they're always rolling out the quarterback to avoid that pressure.
And, you know, obviously when you have issues on the offensive line, it can greatly limit, you know, what you can do with your quarterback. But Cordell Grundy has now played in six games. Is he progressing at the quarterback position? Is he showing promise? I know this is just his first year on campus. What is the coaching staff saying about his play to this point?
You know, I think you had seen some progress. You know, it was rough starting with those Power 5 teams, but you saw a little bit of improvement there against Texas State and UTEP. But then this past week, it was just the complete and polar opposite of what we've been seeing the past few weeks. You know, just inaccuracy, not great decision-making. It was just, you know, like a hard regression from what we've seen in weeks past. They had to replace him in the second half of the game for DJ Gillen's an SMU transfer, and, you know, he didn't really fare much better. But, you know, the coaches will tell you he's been doing well, probably not great. He's very good about not turning the ball over. He only has two interceptions on the year, you know, with five touchdowns, so that's good. And I don't believe he has any fumbles this year. So he does a great job managing the game. He just can't – he's not the greatest playmaker, if you will. So, you know, with the lack of running game right now because of the offensive line, it forces them, you know, to having to extend those plays and maybe – put the ball where the window's a little tighter than it should because of the lack of the running game. So if the running game was working, I think he would be a great quarterback for this offense. You know, a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over that much, that does, you know, efficient throws. But right now, you know, he's kind of being forced to do something that he might not be great at doing.
And you look at, you know, the other side of the football, the UTSA defense has been just stellar. I think I was looking at Pro Football Focus, and I think that the defensive line has 18 quarterback sacks. I think it's like 61 quarterback pressures. What makes this defense so good?
And like you said, it's that defensive line. It all starts up front, and, you know, it's, some people might say, well, you know, you've played some of the worst offenses in the country in, you know, these past 3 weeks, but they were actually leading the Conference USA in tackles for a loss after 3 weeks, and all those three games were against Power 5 teams. So to be leading, you know, for tackles for a loss against those teams was pretty impressive, and they kind of kept that going against Texas State, UTEP, and Rice. There's very little drop-off in depth in the defensive line. I'm sure we all remember Marcus Davenport and the effects he had on the game, and, you know, it was going to be hard replacing him, but what they did is they replaced it with depth. So they go 2-3 deep even in some spots at the defensive line without a little drop-off. If you look at, you know, how many snaps each player is taking, no offensive lineman's taking more than about 30-35 snaps. So Frank Wilson's able to rotate those guys with the same level of production snap after snap. So it just allows the front seven to stay very fresh to, you know, keep having that impact. And then behind them you have a linebacker like Josiah Taueffa, which, you know, I was actually looking at Pro Football Focus as well, and he's the highest graded linebacker in the country right now, with the qualifying snaps. So that's pretty impressive. I mean, we've always known what he's been able to do, and I don't think there's really an argument that he's the best player on this team right now.
If UTSA is going to keep it rolling, win their fourth consecutive game this weekend, what must they do against Louisiana Tech?
You know, kind of keep going with their defensive line, keep pressuring the quarterback, keep making Jamar Smith's life a little hard, and then just find a way, somehow, some way, to get the running game going. If they can, you know, put pressure on the quarterback and establish the running game and let Grundy manage the game more than having to win the game, then I think they're going to be able to keep it close. I don't know if they're going to be able to win, but at least they'll keep it competitive, which is what they've done in the past against Louisiana Tech and the Alamo Dome.
Well, good stuff tonight, Javi. We appreciate you joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. How can our listeners follow your work online?
Yeah, so you guys can find me at Rivals Javi on Twitter, and then our site is UTSA Rivals as well on Twitter. And then, as always, you can always visit birdsup.com for any of your Roadrunner recruiting news and updates.
Good stuff tonight. Looking forward to a fun night in San Antonio Saturday night.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Javi Cardenas, birdsup.com. Some good stuff from Javi. I think that, you know, he was very blunt about, you know, the issues with what UTSA has offensively when they're going up against the likes of a Jalen Ferguson, a Jordan Bradford, Kadarian Mason, Keontae Garner, Matthew Yadarga. I can't say that having issues on your offensive line is comforting.
Mm-mm.
But going to San Antonio to play UTSA, it's never an easy place to play. They've won three straight. It's homecoming.
Why would they schedule Tech for their homecoming?
Maybe they think we suck.
Should have done it with Rice.
Yeah. I think that might have been a road game. But anyways, I think this is going to be a very tough defensive-type battle of a game. He mentions Taueffa the linebacker, highest graded linebacker in the country.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was looking at his PFF grade, and I think it's like 91.6, and I was like, dang, this player's he's a pretty good player. I know Skip mentioned him in the press conference today. He's a freshman All-American, and apparently he's everything he's been billed out to be. I mean, you don't earn a 91.6 grade by beating up on Texas State and UTEP and Rice. He obviously played
unless
very
you're doing
well.
Everything pretty near perfect.
Yeah, he played very well against the three P5 schools as well. So good stuff from Javi. Big matchup for Louisiana Tech this week as they look to bounce back. And, Beck, we got a couple of texts on the text line. I don't know if you saw it. We got one from Matthew, and he said, Jamar threw for less than 100 yards going into the fourth quarter against UAB. How does that not concern you?
Why don't you answer that, BC?
Well, I don't think anybody said it's not concerning, but I'm not going to sit here and tear him down and be worried like the sky's falling. Like, Tech was dominated up front. That's why they lost the game. Don't you think a head coach knows why his team loses a game?
Yeah,
like Skip Holtz has won 130 games in his career. Do you think he just closed his eyes, picked a play, and threw it in there? No. But does Jamar have to play better? Obviously.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Jamar has to play better. Like, if Tech is ever going to click on all cylinders, Jamar has to play better than he played against UAB. Has to play better than he played against North Texas. He has to play better than he played against LSU. But Tech was 3-1 after the North Texas game, and everybody is on the high horse. Myself included, I'm trolling people on Twitter. Like, it was awesome to hear the North Texas fans whine and complain for a week. Then they just fill my mentions throughout this week. But I'm so mature, I don't respond. But, like, just because you're 3-1 doesn't cover up every flaw. Every team has a flaw. Like...
Yeah, no, I get you. Let me ask you this. I leaned over to you in the third quarter and I said, if Tech loses this game, people are going to be frustrated more at play calling / Skip than anything. Just knowing the fan base.
Yeah.
We still got a few Jamar haters.
Yeah, we do. But I think that's understandable because as a fan, you don't get to watch what goes on in the trenches every day.
What do they call them? Armchair quarterbacks or something? What is the phrase?
Preach.
So that's my question. Obviously, it was the offensive line that just got absolutely dominated. You can argue scheme and preparation and all that. Were you frustrated by play calling, or did you agree with it based on what they were showing?
In the moment, yes.
Frustrated?
I was frustrated with the play calling in the moment. But I had a chance to rewatch the game, and what are you going to do when the few times that Tech did try to throw the ball down the field, they were just dominated up front? Like, if your quarterback's running for his life, Jamar only completed 9 of 24 passes. Okay, he had 4 throwaways and 4 drops. Okay, so 13, 17 of 24, if he has time to throw there. Oh, then we're thinking Jamar's the greatest. Well, Jamar didn't flush himself out of the pocket on his own.
True.
Jamar didn't drop the ball. People talk about the receivers being frustrated with Jamar and yelling at him and throwing their helmet. Well, should he go up and yell at them when they don't catch it? Then you're going to be on Jamar for outing his teammates.
Right, but I also think every game you could say, well,
no,
if he wouldn't have thrown it away, then you can add this. I mean,
no,
that's the beautiful thing about football is it is truly, and we saw that this week, it's truly a team sport in the sense of if the offense goes 3-and-out in 14 seconds every play, the defense is going to be terrible the second half of the game.
Exactly.
But people don't understand that.
Beck, you can have 10 players on your offense do the absolute perfect thing, dominate the man in front of them, and if one player lapses in his job, if the left tackle doesn't block the defensive end, quarterback can get killed. If receiver doesn't catch the ball, incomplete pass. If the running back fumbles it, if the quarterback makes a bad throw. Like you said, it's a team game. You all have to work with one another. The bottom line is, Tech did not play well as a unit offensively. It was everything. It was the offensive line. It was the receivers. It was the running backs. I think the running back, McKnight, allowed a couple of sacks. Jamar got credit for one fumble when the fumble wasn't on him. It was on the running back for taking the wrong angle to get the handoff. People don't know that. They want to blame the quarterback.
I've done that. I've blamed the quarterback.
Lord. Anyways.
We got to take a break for...
So I can cool off.
So you
we're
going to
take
off.
A quick time out. When we come back, we're going to look a little bit more at this UTSA team that Tech has to take on this weekend. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
We got some text.
Let's hear it.
And Ben, I think you're really going to like this one.
Oh, Lord.
This one's from Jonathan. Another domino in the one step forward, two steps back trend that seems to continue for Tech. Worst outcome for this game is how the performance will adversely affect the crowds for the rest of the season. Ben?
Jonathan, I
do you have an opinion about this?
Jonathan, I completely agree with you. I do. I really think that the loss to UAB will have a tremendous effect on the crowds that Tech will see going forward at home. That said, that irritates the living fire out of me. Like, are you a fan or are you not a fan?
Me?
Anyone. Like, do you love Louisiana Tech or do you not love Louisiana Tech? And then I hear the argument, well, you know, we shouldn't lose to a UAB team that just started their program back 2 years ago. Okay, I agree with you. But I'm not going to quit going to the games. I'm not going to quit buying tickets. I'm not going to quit donating to the program. Like,
if you want that mentality, go be an Alabama fan. They never lose.
Yeah. Oh, get this. I'm scrolling through Twitter. Got a Bama fan the other day. Keep in mind, 6-0 Alabama, best quarterback in the country, hadn't played a snap in the fourth quarter. Talking about how the defense is slow. They're allowing too many yards, too many points, and the linebackers can't run sideline to sideline.
And you think I'm never satisfied.
My response is, if Bama fans ain't satisfied, Tech fans will never be satisfied. But the whole fan argument, I don't understand it, and I get it. There's fans that have been watching Tech football for 65 years, okay? And they say, we see this same show year in and year out. Well, guess what? If you've been watching for 65 years, then what the heck is year 66 going to do to make you go away?
You think they're bluffing.
I'm not saying they're bluffing. I just don't know why you would even say it.
Yeah, it's a battle of a night.
And I get it. It's heat of the moment. I understand that.
It's emotional. It's never being satisfied. But they cry wolf. They threaten to pull their donations until this changes or that changes.
Like, just love them for who they are. Because I can tell you something. Listen, I played a collegiate sport. Believe it or not. Somehow I made it onto the baseball roster. But you go out and you lose a game. I can promise you one thing that came away from that game in a loss. With 100% certainty. Me and my team did not try to lose that game. We didn't try to, but we did. Tech didn't try to lose Saturday night to UAB. They got whipped by UAB. But I also didn't see the players today early at practice walking around going, man, we lost to UAB. This season's over, man. I might as well turn in my pads and my helmet.
Nobody said that?
No. Like, be competitive. Like, that's why I love talking trash to people on Twitter. I love to say, you know what, North Texas, you are overrated. You thought you were going to go to the G5 All-Access Bowl New Year's 6. Well, guess what? You're not, so I'm going to call you overrated. And if you can't take me talking trash as a fan, then you're just not enjoying it enough. Sports are fun. Beck, we were at the game, and, you know, that we'll both agree, it was hard to watch, right?
Yeah, it was tough.
But we're enjoying the heck out of it. It's fun to watch. Like, we didn't think the offense was going to score, but I can guarantee you one thing. We were pulling like heck for them, too. I wasn't about to start yelling at them. Because guess what? Last time I played quarterback was in seventh grade. We finished 1-7. And let me tell you something. There's about 22 fans at the game.
Right. It's this.
You just have to support the team. Like I was a Cubs fan. We went 108 years. Imagine if I would have never been a fan. Golly, that 2016 championship still just delights me today. Bryant to Rizzo, and the Cubs have won the World Series. Like Tabor knows he's a Cubs fan. There's nothing better. Enjoy the ups and the downs. Support your little team. Go to the games.
It's still a Saturday night in the Joe, and I'd rather be there
than sitting on my couch.
Right.
Watching Tulane play Houston.
Did I leave?
No,
frustrated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Still love my dogs.
Still love my dogs.
So is this in reference to attitude or in reference to attendance? Do you have anything to say about attendance?
Yeah, they better.
The game started out just right before a kickoff. Just a downpouring.
Yeah, I got soaked.
My wife got soaked. My kid got soaked. I got soaked.
But I didn't think the attendance was as bad as some have said after the rain delay. I expect people to leave. I don't have a problem with you leaving if it's pouring down rain.
But a lot more people came in than I thought
they would.
Right.
No,
student section, different story.
Yeah, student section was like, that's not acceptable. Students, show up, be loud, be proud. Band was engaged. About the only people that were engaged throughout. Anyways, enough with the rant, and let's talk about UTSA. Tech's 5-1 all time against this UTSA team. 1-1 in San Antonio. Only lost 2013, Skip Holt's first year, 30-10. It was a beatdown. Tech wasn't that good that year, but they've never beat Tech otherwise. Last year, Tech beat UTSA 20-6 at the Joe in one of the most impressive performances that I've ever seen defensively. It was just a complete lockdown. UTSA seeking their first 3-0 conference start in program history. I know it's a relatively young program. They got a lot to play for this Saturday. It's homecoming. I know 36,000 plus can fit into the Alamo Dome. You're probably going to see 25,000 in there, I'd imagine. And it's loud inside of a dome, kind of like me inside of the studio.
Yeah, you're loud.
When the noise is condensed, you can really hear it. UTSA, get this. Javi talked about UTSA only had one returning offensive lineman up front. I think they had three returning starters in all offensively. I think they had six returning starters defensively. Get this. 20 players have made their first career start this year for UTSA.
Is that just by chance? I mean, is it just like a bad?
I think it just shows how inexperienced they are.
Yeah, but like, how do you have that many?
Well, I think early on in Frank Wilson's tenure, he really loaded up on some junior college players.
Okay.
And they got to a bowl game. And I'm not going to say Frank Wilson's done a bad job, but I don't think he's met the expectations that were set for him when he got there. I think he's 15-15 overall. It'll be interesting to see you know, what the program does with how, you know, depending on how they finish out this season. Offensively, like I mentioned, UTSA is 129th in total offense. That ranks dead last, 122nd in scoring offense. UTSA and Tech are both number one in the country in red zone scoring. Both are ranked 85th in third down conversions. That's something that I think Tech has to do much better in this week, especially if you want to win on the road. And Teddyville talked about that today in the press conference. He said, you know, you have to play well on third down if you want to have an opportunity to win. Perhaps
that's a muddy stat, though, because we had how many third and long? Like,
oh, no,
third,
no, it
and
is
14.
No, it's a very muddy stat, especially, like you said, if you're behind the chains, like, you're going to convert a very low number.
Right. I mean,
so
low.
The important is you have to execute on first and second down, which is why those lost yardage plays play such a big role. You know, if you're losing 2 yards on first down, then it's second and 12. Then they either know you're throwing it or, okay, you rush for 2 yards, still third and 10.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? Which is tough to convert even half the time.
Yeah, so Tech has to do a better job of getting ahead of the chains, converting on third downs. And perhaps the biggest key to this game this weekend for me, Beck, UTSA is 18th in the country in turnover margin. I think Tech is like 63rd, somewhere around in there. Nothing spectacular. Tech was minus two in the turnover department against UAB. You want to win on the road, you win the turnover battle. That's simple. I mean, Tech is not committing penalties, which I've had a couple of people mention on the Bleed Tech Blue message board today. Maybe we should commit a couple of offensive holding calls. At least shows you're trying.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I mean, it's a fair point. So, Tech has to win the turnover battle. That's the most important factor for me heading into this game.
How many times do you anticipate UTSA throwing the ball?
They don't want to throw it more than 20 times. They don't want to. Now, if Tech can get them behind, then they might have to. But I think that if you get them behind, I think you'll see, you know, Jalen Ferguson potentially take over this game like he did against North Texas. So, it's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a defensive battle. I'm telling you, it's not going to be fun to watch. So if you're a Tech fan and you think the offense is boring, go ahead and skip this one. It's not going to be fun to watch. It's tough to win on the road. Beck, I got a question for you.
Hit me.
Depending on the sports book you look at, Tech's around 11 to 13 point favorite in this game. Too high, too low? What you think?
I think it's about right. I don't know a ton about UTSA, admittedly, but I don't think Tech has two bad offensive weeks in a row, and we seem to play pretty well on the road.
Why do you think that is? I think
it's less pressure?
I really do. I think it's you get an opportunity to get away from everything, away from your – and these are college kids. Away,
not that there's nothing to lose, but there's a little less to lose.
Yeah, and you're away from your personal life. You're able to disconnect for a little bit and relax. You're focused on football only. And you, like you said, there's a little bit less pressure. You have more of something to prove. You want to win on the road. You want to really upset 25,000 folks.
Yeah, you're more attacking than you are defending.
Yeah, exactly, So, and I think that, you know, that 11 to 13 point line, I think it's a little high. I think that's about a touchdown game, probably. I don't know. We'll find out in the last segment what I end up deciding on that. Looking at UTSA's quarterback Grundy. Cordell Grundy averaging 133 yards per game through the air, completing only 52% of his throws. Jalen Rhodes, you will see him along with B.J. Daniels as the primary playmakers offensively. At running back, defensively, UTSA is nasty. They're very similar to UAB, minus the 6'6", 6'8" defensive ends that are just terrors off the edge. They also don't possess a 350-pound defensive tackle that can really get after you as well. It's a more of a less physically imposing team and more of a team that really tries to execute. They're led by Lorenzo Dantzler. Crazy story on Dantzler. Committed to Tech out of high school. Decommitted. Committed to Southern Miss. Redshirt at Southern Miss. Transferred. Now he's at UTSA. Playing some really good football. I think he has 10 tackles. I think he has 5 for loss. Couple of forced fumbles. I think he has a fumble recovery for a touchdown as well. So he's playing really well. Obviously, it's a big week you know, like you said, you expect the offense to not play bad 2 weeks in a row. They have to step up. You know, like Holt said, you know, you thought you could win that game 10-7 against UAB, but they're not going in with that mindset this week. Offense has got to put, you know, 28, 35 points on the board and show that, you know, they can carry the team at times as well. The defense has proven that they have played very well in spurts. So, big matchup this week in San Antonio, Louisiana Tech, and UTSA. We're going to go ahead and get to our next timeout. When we come back, we'll take a look around Conference USA. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication. Trust and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Get on the Express at Fairway Carts. The new EasyGo Express electric 4x4 is now in stock, and it's what you've waited years for. A silent four-wheel drive cart that seats four and has the power and torque you need. With trail tires, brush guards, and a whole lot more, Express is engineered to help you have a better hunt. The EasyGo Express electric 4x4, coming soon to Fairway Carts in Minden. Come by Highway 531 just north of I-20 or call 800-960-CART.
Hey, DQ fans, think you know all there is about the DQ $5 buck lunch? Well, think again, because now this lunchtime favorite is even bigger, with even more options to choose from, like the deluxe cheeseburger, chicken strips, new crispy chicken salad, and the new KC barbecue bacon cheeseburger, each topped off with a world-famous sundae for just $5. Even more choices, same great value. The DQ $5 buck lunch variety menu, only at your DQ. At participating locations, this is fan food, not fast food.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. Beck, let's give a quick shout-out to our sponsors.
Sure thing, BC. We got Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen of Ruston and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas.
Good stuff. As always, we'd like to thank First National Bank, our title sponsor as well. As always, you can call us, you can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. We've had some good fan interaction tonight. We love to hear from you. We love to hear.
Because we really do this for the fans, Ben. This ain't just for the fans. Just for ourselves.
Beck, I come across pretty strong with my takes because I believe in them, but I love when people come back with a strong take.
You invite conversation.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I wouldn't even say arguments. Yeah. You just invite opinions.
Yeah. Like, Alvin Kamara is going to be terrible in fantasy thanks to my boy Mark Ingram being back. But anyways, I digress. Looking around Conference USA last week, only 5 games on the docket. I think the biggest upset of the night actually happened on Friday night. Middle Tennessee goes to Huntington, knocks off Marshall 34-24. Florida Atlantic's a winner on Saturday. Lane Kiffin's squad gets back to 500 with a 52-33 win over Old Dominion. I know that Old Dominion squad is 1-5, but they have definitely figured out something offensively with Blake LaRusa at quarterback. Elsewhere, UTSA traveled to Houston, beat Rice 20-3. As I mentioned, UTSA only had 179 total yards of offense in that game. North Texas, thought this was one of the bigger surprises of the night. They escaped UTEP in El Paso with a 27-24 win. No, that was a game we were following throughout the night, you know, when we were at the Joe. And Mason Fine got it done. It wasn't always pretty, but as long as it's not boring, we can be happy that North Texas escaped El Paso. And like we mentioned, UAB knocks off Louisiana Tech 28-7. Looking ahead, this week, Conference USA action, another thin slate, only six games this weekend. UAB travels to Rice. Maybe that's a tricky game. Rice has a good defense. UAB likes to run it early, really struggled against Tech. I'm not sure Rice will be able to do a whole lot offensively against UAB, but wilder things have happened. UAB did lose to Charlotte a year ago, so we'll see how that one turns out. Southern Miss travels to North Texas. We'll see what the Fighting Jack Abrahams can
do. That may
be.
Actually be a good game.
I think it will be. I think that we'll find out how good Southern Miss is. Another 1-0 in conference right now, 2-2 overall. We'll find out, you know, if they're for real, if they can potentially compete for a conference championship. Toilet Bowl of the Week, Western Kentucky. Mike Sanford takes his team on the road to Charlotte. That game will be on ESPN Plus. If you happen to watch that game, you might be the only one watching. Marshall will travel to Old Dominion. That game's set for a 2:30 kickoff. That one's kind of sneaky with Old Dominion beating Virginia Tech a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. You just never know what's going to happen.
Playing at home in Norfolk. Louisiana Tech travels to UTSA, 6 p.m. kickoff Saturday night on ESPN Plus. It's ESPN's new broadcasting.
Which I've had. I subscribe to that.
Yeah.
But there's only been one game, Tech game on it.
Yeah, well, I think you'll see it heat up here down the stretch. Next week's on it as well. So okay. Maybe that's fine. Watch or maybe you'll come to the homecoming game.
I'll be there, BC.
Middle Tennessee will travel to FIU in what amounts to taking control of the East Division. So consider me shocked. Middle Tennessee and FIU are playing really well. I really think that, you know, when you look at Conference USA as a whole right now, as we listen to it thunder in the background, this conference is turning into a thunderstorm. You never know what to expect. It seems like each and every week a different team ends up rising to the top. You know, we thought Tech was the favorite after beating North Texas. Then UAB knocks off Tech, gets North Texas back in the race, but someone has to beat UAB. Well, is Southern Miss competitive? Is UTSA a team that's turned it around? Can they win without a quality offense? A lot of things still left to shake out. I know there's six games left in conference play, so a lot of questions will be answered over the course of the next few weeks. And I was looking at Bill Connolly at SB Nation. He does a really good job at, you know, all these different types of projections. I was looking at his Conference USA projections, and he went through, you know, every conference and how, you know, the most intriguing conference races. And I think he had 18 conference races. He ranked Conference USA West as his third rank. So he thinks this is really intriguing coming down the stretch.
It will be. So you're saying if you're a Tech fan, which I assume everybody listening to the show is.
Oh, absolutely.
Tech is hoping UAB drops a game.
Yeah, and Tech needs some help now. But you,
yeah, you the phrase was, you know, Tech was in control of their own destiny. Now they're not. Meaning we need some other teams to get beat.
Yeah, and I don't think it's crazy to say that the division winner might have two losses. Yeah. I mean, 6-2 in conference. You look at the two top dogs. You know, preseason perceived in Tech and North Texas already has one. I think that UAB has some flaws that will be exposed.
But they need to drop two in order for Tech to go up, right? Because they have the tiebreaker over Tech.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, if you get into three-way tie scenarios, it could potentially sway in Tech's way. But I just think Conference USA West is extremely early. There's a long way to go, and it's important. And that's why I come on here and, you know, we get texts on the text line that I'm making excuses. And do I think Tech's more talented than UAB?
Yes.
Yeah. I think Tech's the most talented team in the division. when you look at, you know, NFL talent. Does talent win games? No, it doesn't. But when you have the most talented team, you got a chance week in and week out. So I think that's, you know, important to keep in perspective from a Texas fan of, you know, Texas point of view. And then I think, you know, looking at the division right now, according to Bill Connolly, he says that UAB is projected to win the division with North Texas, Southern Miss, and Tech right behind them. We'll see what happens. I still think that Tech and North Texas are the top dog in this conference, but Tech has to go out and prove it. And then you look at, you know, the other side of the conference, Middle Tennessee rises to the top, which is insane.
Yep.
Like, I picked them as my dark horse in the preseason, but there was not an ounce of me that thought Middle Tennessee was going to win it. I just thought that they had a chance to really surprise some teams. They're 2-0. They're projected right now to win the East. Florida International is projected to come in second, Marshall third, Florida Atlantic fourth. A lot of tricky games coming up here in Conference USA as we head down the stretch. So, all in all, what have I learned about Conference USA play now that it's been in action for 3 weeks?
Yeah, you used to have some pretty strong opinions about Conference USA.
What did
Came down
to,
pretty hard.
What did I used to say about it?
You used to say they were just a darn near worst conference in the whole
It is.
League.
It is. It still is. Beck, we got a great question I got for you on the text line.
All right, hit me with it.
Good friend Donald. Shout out to you, Donald. Thanks for the question. If you're listening, we need you to chime in. Donald needs some help. Which is worst as a Tech alum? Missing a home game because it's on TV, or B, scheduling a life event on homecoming, like a wedding, a shower,
easy,
a party?
Scheduling a life event because you're not only affecting yourself and making a very irrational
decision,
stupid decision, but you're then obligating other Tech fans, a wedding
to
in
go
Ruston
to it.
On a home game.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm not going to be there.
No.
I don't care if you're my sister.
No, yeah.
We'll see you.
No, I'm with. If it's
that
my wedding, I wouldn't go.
Bothers the mess out of me.
If it was my own wedding.
You wouldn't be there.
No.
We'll catch you at the reception. We'll go to the courthouse. I'm going to watch the dogs and the Joe.
You should never schedule a wedding
on
a Saturday in
up.
The fall.
Burns me up. But also,
now, if you want to do the bye week, I'm cool.
Yeah.
But a Saturday.
My wedding, we actually had
mine
this problem.
Mine was on a bye week in
We
the
had
fall.
This problem because we were scheduling the
yeah,
wedding.
Yeah, Tech played ULL on the night yes. of your wedding, and Kenneth Dixon went 99 yards through the house, and I was ticked that I missed it.
Yeah, but it was at ULL.
Yeah.
But at the time we scheduled the wedding, it was between one or two weekends, and the schedule wasn't complete yet. And so we had to gamble, and we got lucky, but I was also like, dang, ULL's still close enough.
Well, here we are again. Beck's begging for a pass. We'll give it to you, though.
All right.
It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
I'm past it. But, yeah, I think definitely when you look at – don't schedule a wedding in the fall.
Just don't do
it. I have a daughter. I have another daughter on the way. If you want to come to her wedding in 25 years, it will not be in the fall. I can promise you.
Yeah.
It'll be in the winter after Tech's first conference championship because Tech fans like to say they'll never win a conference championship.
In 25 years, you're calling
so
it.
Yeah, so hang in there for 25 more years. Anyway.
Good question, Donald. We love it.
Yeah, great question. So, anyway, we're going to take our final timeout when we come back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio will wrap it up, get you all set for Louisiana Tech, UTSA. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Get off the interstate and get into Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep and let us show you why your satisfaction is our number one priority. As a certified Chrysler 5-star dealership, we take great pride in the experience you have with us. That's why the customer satisfaction scores you give us continually rank in the highest level. Come see us at Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep in Ruston or shop our website at BrennanDodge.com. You'll experience great deals and award-winning service. And you will know why Brennan Dodge is a certified Chrysler 5-star dealer.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We wrap it up. Good show tonight, Beck. I think we've touched on some key points. I've had the opportunity to really speak my mind. I think now that we're 72 hours out from the loss to UAB, I can finally say that I have relaxed and I'm ready for another week in college football, but I'm not desperate enough to watch Appalachian State and Arkansas State tonight.
Tonight, yeah. On a Tuesday night.
Yeah, so... I know you got some hard hitters for me.
I do.
Let's hear them.
Ben, this may come as a shock to you, but we got some overreacting from the Tech fans.
It's Overreaction Tuesday.
It is. I've heard some people say, "All hell, I'm done with Skip." That loss was just so atrocious. Three touchdowns. So pathetic. That's the Skip we know. Ben, we both know this is ridiculous, but this is what I'm hearing. But it does bring up an interesting question. What will it take for you to be done with Skip?
Beck, I'll tell you what it'll take. It's going to take a lot. If you're calling for a coach's head after losing the fifth game of the season, after four straight bowl games, and I know... I'm going to hear this time and time again. Oh, the four straight bowl games is not a big deal. Well, let me tell you something. You want to know the last bowl game, last time Tech went to four straight bowl games under Skip Holtz? I mean, under, you know, any coach?
Tell me.
Hold on. Oh, way back in 1971 until 1974. Were you around?
Nope.
All right. So, the Pioneer Bowl, the Grantland Rice Bowl, the Pioneer Bowl, the Pioneer Bowl. Seemed like we like to be with the Pioneers. But I can promise you, as long as Tech's winning 7-8 games a year, I'm happy. Like, do I want to win a conference championship? Heck yeah. Is it realistic? All right, answer me this. How realistic is it to expect a conference championship year in and year out?
Pretty unrealistic.
I mean, who can? Alabama? Ohio State? Maybe Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Like, I understand wanting to win a conference championship, but this program hasn't had this type of stability since 1971 and 74. Are you nuts? Skip is doing a very good job, and Skip will continue to do a very good job because he has built the program in the right way. If you're not satisfied, please call me, I would be more than happy to talk with you about it and to figure out what else is going on. Because there has to be an underlying issue that one conference loss makes you just say, I'm done, I'm out, I'm done. Because if that would have happened, there and you followed Louisiana Tech from the very beginning, you've said it 450 times. Anyways, what else you got?
Well, as you know, Saturday night was my absolute favorite Tech jersey combo.
White, blue, white, baby. I love it.
And Ben, we did not represent.
You're right.
I was sad about that. That's my final thought. Well, on the game, moving forward.
What do you think Tech must do if they want to win this week?
Well, apparently we got to block somebody on the offensive line. That helps. Jamar plays better when he has time to throw the ball. Imagine that, Ben. It's pretty simple.
Yep. Oh, and I'm so glad you mentioned Jamar, and I don't think I put this on your notes. So I'm going to ask you this. Jamar is 36th in the country in total yards per game. 36th in the country. He needs 320 yards passing this week to get into 10th all-time in Tech history. Over or under 320 yards this week for Jamar?
Under.
Under. All right.
No doubt in my mind.
So how many do you think he goes for?
319.
Hey, that's fine. That's what I love to hear from you. That's what I love.
Russell says under.
Russell says under. I'll take the under as well. I'll say 245, three touchdowns, another 45 on the ground.
Woo. Against that linebacker, BC, that I can't pronounce his
Teofa?
Last name. Teofa?
Yeah, I don't know how to say his name either, but that's what we're going with right now. I'll say he goes under 320 yards. Now, if all right, here we go. If Jamar completes...
Hold on. I got a text. First of all, hashtag stop fall weddings. I appreciate that. That was the first text I got.
I
second,
it.
He's taking the under. Third, he predicts 9 for 38 with 78 yards for Jamar.
Well, that's complete blasphemy. But I have a question for you.
All right.
We're going to wager this. Jamar completes 62% of his throws this week for at least 250 yards and three touchdowns in a Tech win. You're writing a poem.
Let me write that down. Say that one more time.
62%.
Okay.
250 yards, three touchdowns. You're writing a poem.
All right. Now, if two of the three happen, what happens? No poem.
It's off.
Okay.
Bet's completely off.
All right. And if he doesn't.
If he doesn't.
You have to give me a.
No, if he does.
A legit, believable.
That I'm worried.
A little rant of, okay, maybe.
I'm wrong.
I'm worried or wrong.
Okay.
And you don't have to go full on. I just need to hear. Some.
No, what if he doesn't hit all those but Tech wins?
Well, that's kind of what happened at North Texas. He didn't play a bad game. He didn't get us in trouble, but I wouldn't say he was the,
okay, so
the
that,
reason
that
we won
just
the game.
A push.
That was a push.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm all in. I'm all in. And I hope that you've been reading Little Bo Peep so that you can learn how to write a poem. Jonathan says under, but more than last week. Well, Jonathan, you and I both can only hope.
Yeah.
We can only
no
hope.
Doubt.
All right, It's time. First off, kickoff 6 p.m. Saturday night, ESPN Plus. You can join us, BleedTechBlue.com, only $9.95 a month. It's time to make our score predictions. Let's hear it. Beck, what you got?
I got 23-13 Tech. I don't think Tech has the offensive game that we hope they would have.
23-13. All right. You
Tech.
Got that right?
Yep.
You
going to
write it down?
Yep.
All right. Tapes. What you got?
He's been thinking hard. You can tell.
24-20.
Okay.
Dogs. Woo.
Now, I got Tapes. Another question for you, Tapes. Dancy's expected to return. Does he go for 100-plus?
Total yards.
Total yards. All right.
Total from scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
BC?
Tapes got the over. All right. You're going to call me crazy? Give me the Dogs 30. UTSA 17. in a game that's not as close as the score appears
to be. You think Tech gets a garbage time QB? You're saying
UTSA gets a garbage time touchdown. And I think this will be my favorite part. We'll have the fans back on board. The J-Mar ship will be sailing, and I will be the captain of that ship, while more and more folks believe that a conference championship is in reach.
Let me ask you this. I got a good question on the personal text line. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Says Beck, doesn't two at least WTF games a year put us in lesser bowls and make it easier on Skip to get that streak?
Say that again.
Okay. Doesn't at least two WTF games a year put us in lesser bowls and make it easier on Skip to win a bowl game and get that 4-bowl game streak, which I've argued ain't that impressive to me.
I mean, you could argue that all day, but I mean, the year Tech nearly won the Conference USA West and played for a conference championship against Marshall, when they did win the Conference USA, they played Illinois in a bowl game. So, like, the highest bowl game that you're going to get in a Conference USA bowl outside of, you know, a New Year's Six bowl, you're going to play a 6-6 team from the Big Ten.
So you're saying there's not much Tech can do to get a better bowl game?
Yeah, like, I mean, they beat a ranked Navy team in a bowl game.
Let me ask you this. Does Tech having a 4-bowl game streak help them when getting selected for a bowl? If they have a 7-5 record 4 years in a row, but 4 years in a row they've won a bowl game, are they getting a better bowl, quote unquote, each year? But
I don't know. The bowl game's so sketchy to me, but whatever. They played a ranked Navy team in the Armed Forces Bowl in a year that in 2016. So, like, you're probably not getting any better than that. Last thing before we go, I got a text from Matt on the hotline. He says there was a lot of question marks for Skip Holtz being hired for Louisiana Tech. And while, yes, I was upset that we did not get the victory this weekend, in the end, I think Skip Holtz has been a very good addition to our program. That is normally a stepping stone program for coaches that when they do well, they move on. We are very lucky to have Skip Holtz stay with us and be willing to build a program that has shown the success that it has the last several years. Matt, that's a mic drop. We appreciate you. Good show tonight. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. For Beck Haynes, for our great producer, John Tabor, I'm Ben Carlisle. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
Basketball for the time being. Did Steve Kerr get himself thrown out of last night's game on purpose? 5-time NBA All-Star Tim Hardaway has the answer next. But first, let's get back to Deb Carson for what is trending.
Gentlemen, still scoreless in the Bronx. Top of the second inning, CC Sabathia on the hill with Boston leading the series 2-1. And, of course, if the Yankees force a Game 5, they will be playing Thursday at Fenway with the winner facing the Astros in the American League Championship Series. In other baseball news, the Tampa Bay Rays have given Kevin Cash, their manager, a 6-year contract extension.
Deb, 6 years?
6 years.
For a manager of that team?
Well, which is amazing because, they had Joe Maddon. Are they just desperate to keep anybody there after Maddon fled the coup?
I guess. I'd never see a 6-year contract. Wow.
Not on a Rays team with that record.
Right.
Yeah.
They were pretty good, but not great.
No, but, you're not locking up, the Red Sox.